welcome to my program. And you must be ready for no entertainment. You know, it's just very strange things to say to a talk show host. I'm not really. What I'm trying to do since 1960 is, since I've been on the air since 55 years, so to get people to wake up. And you say, the minute I say that, you heard that word before. And the people who utter it don't know what they're saying when they say that, but it's right. You have to wake up. But you say, I'm not asleep. But you are. Do you know what a typecast is? It's people that talk like you. So when you go to a movie, you have typecast people. Gangsters, you know, drunks, you know, perverts. You get all of them, including yourself. Very rarely do you have an individual. You have people who love what's true and know what truth or know what right and wrong is and do the best they can. But that's the typecast. Because everybody like that is looking for the truth, but they can't find it. See? So I'm looking for people looking for what is called the truth, but no one ever finds that. Well, there are people who have it, that spirit, that natural spirit, that childlike quality, but in a man or a woman, it's strong and firm. And then they don't have a mummy to, you know, innocence, when you're born as a baby, a child, you have to be subjected to the mother or the father, preferably mostly the father, and second the mother. But in the beginning, the mother has the, you know, the biggest burden on her with the baby. But you have to understand that babies like animals, but they're not like animals, but we'll come back to that in a minute. But I just have to make some, just make things clear, hopefully, that they are suggestible to the will of the parent. Animals don't have will. The strongest one, the smartest one, leads the pack. And the kids don't have any problems with evil. You know, whether it's a lion, a tiger, a bear, oh my. They naturally cuddle up and embrace their parent. But the parents are just protections, and there's very little much they can learn except the little hunting skills or, you know. But it's natural for them to follow parents. The trouble with parents is they're broken. There's good parents. There's trying to be good parents. And bad parents. And the first two ruin their children. The good ones, the godly ones, are not the ones that go to church, necessarily. You don't have to go to church. You can be called anything. But you may not know that you are perfect, or you're becoming perfect. You know that you're different from everybody else. You're not a typecast, as I'm describing. And if you are one of those people, you can recognize I'm not typecast. Not in the sense that we're all born into the culture. We call that born into sin. And so your parents were born into sin, into culture. And in the days that I have enjoyed myself being in America, it's like 65, 67 years, I don't know how long, it's been a long time. Parenting has become almost non-existing. And the schools have taken over, and music has taken over. And so the reason for that is because as each generation becomes demoralized, they produce more demoralized children. exponentially. And so you're going to lose your country because you may be one of those people who have to wake up and you have anxiety. And every one of you have anxiety, whatever type cast you take, whatever play, whatever life you have, or what personality you play. You're all the same. You're not real. You'll die having never lived, and that's my program to help you escape that.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Hello, everyone. Welcome. This is Roy Masters speaking. I want to talk to you about typecast. And that nearly everybody listening to my program is typecasted, meaning there's one of you, maybe there's millions of you, who have the same thoughts, the same behaviors, exactly, and the same weaknesses, giving in, going along, looking for peace, or the bully type. There's various variations of that. You can have the bully, the gang bully, and who bullies the gang into being bullies, but they're addicted to the stronger bully, who's the gang leader. So he owes his life to that one. See? And it's wonderful, it's remarkable how in movies, when the leader gets angry, you know, and doesn't get what the guy should have done for him and messed up his day and lost lots of money and drugs. So he gets up his gun and he shoots one bang. And everybody stands back. And the shock inures them to his service. You'd think they'd all get up their back guns and shoot the gang leader. No, they don't. Just like in the movies. They don't. They're terrified. One controls many. Just how strong are you? React. Everybody reacting shock from the shotguns to seeing the dead person on the floor. Okay, pick him up. Yeah, put him up. Put him in a sink. But whatever it is, I'm not very good at animating here. So I'm just making a point. One person like Adolf Hitler could do the same thing, being stronger. It's just a little weasel guy. You can breathe and push him over, you see, if you met him. But he has a powerful energy. And he creates people like himself and makes them do terrible things and rewards them. And pretty soon he's got a gang. And he extends that gang and makes them more violent and rewards them for their violence. And they love their leader. But now you've got something happening. Typecast. So you've got tyrants, all kinds of tyrants. You've got ISIS tyrants. You've got a Russian tyrant, Putin. We're going to have a tyrant here too, if you're not careful, with your president. Because he's won people over. See? He's learned the name of the game. And the name of the game is love and hate. Love that's not love, and hate that's hate. And so what you love is the bully. And when you can't say no to anything, see, then it becomes an addiction to give in to the strongest horse. And half of the people listening to me, if ISIS came over and was successful, they would give themselves to, they would welcome. Because the person who gives in and goes along to get along and looks for love in all the wrong places, it's becoming more addicted to the servitude of those people who arise to the occasion of their uniqueness and need. So, you're not American. If you don't know how to speak up and you're looking for love from people, it will always be in the wrong places. It will always rise from the depths of hell, so to speak. And you will be subject to that as if you loved it. And that person can die and be in the grave, and so much would you be attached to that person that was a bully that you enabled with your service. So you really didn't have your own life. You always spent your whole life looking for to make that person better, to make him more grandioso, more grandiose. And getting affection from that person, getting power from that person, getting a sense of worth from that person, but that sense of worth has always been worthless. You've got a wrong God. But you so when that person dies, when Stalin died, he killed God knows how many people, 100 million. I think it was white Russia, where my father came from. I think it was called Ukraine. I think that was the new name to it. My father's day, it was a long time ago, like 1900. He killed 20 million people by just taking their food away and their livelihood and their sheep and everything else and the cows, left them with nothing, and they sold it, and got a lot of money, and then he was good to the people in the big cities. He gave them all kinds of advances and advantages they never had before. They loved him, and they didn't know because there wasn't. Everybody didn't have radios in those days. So they didn't know where he got the money, but they just thought he was a wonderful guy. Just like you got a wonderful guy up in the White House. See, almost said the White House. This is a Freudian slip, I'm sorry to say. But what I'm saying is they're all typecasts. The gang leader is the same. Your tyrants are the same. The people who support tyrants and love the tyrant and yield to them and become one of them, the extension of them, and being rewarded as the extension, but still a serve to the bully, to the tyrant, to the dictator, to ISIS, to Hitler, to Stalin. And when you see pictures, when you have a sort of a semi-civilized dictatorship, it's a civilized dictatorship, they're terrible. But you see the pictures on the wall. I mentioned that to a lady last night, and I helped that lady to overcome a conditioning. The whole idea is having pictures everywhere because the picture triggers. See, so it's like post-traumatic stress disorder. A person doesn't realize when they come home from the front from war, and he's seen some terrible things, so terrible that he is shocked and brings an enemy home with him. That's what happens. In other words, there's an addiction when the shock comes. The whole idea is to demoralize your enemy. The enemy understands that they, as much as cruel as you can possibly be, shocks the typical typecast individual. It's not he's an out individual, otherwise he wouldn't have post-traumatic stress disorders. or any kind of that lead to that, to kill others and to kill himself. Because the post-traumatic stress disorder, if rewarded, makes that person a very special killer and a friend of the tyrant. And so you have a whole bunch of those, and you can bring them all up. And so ISIS makes sure that every baby born doesn't get a proper education except those who are picked out to be leaders and followers of leaders, see, and hope to be leaders themselves when the leaders die or anything happens to them. And so they owe their allegiance to that, and they're typecast. They're typecast in such a way that they're all afraid of each other. So if anybody, any one of them should escape it and wake up, he dare not say anything because the others didn't wake up, and he'd be up against everybody around him. As you would be if you woke up, if you got your kids who go to school and have the wrong kind of friends, see, and you've allowed for that, you've lost your relationship with him because in the beginning, now we're going to go start at the beginning here. I always try to make my beginnings interesting and unusual. So I said, when you're born, you owe yourself, you owe it to your parents. You owe it to yourself to obey your parents. You're naturally programmed. But human beings are not quite the same as animals because there's no evil. I've never seen an evil sheep. I've never seen an evil duck. I've never seen an evil lion. It's just, it does what it does. A crocodile, it's not an evil. It looks like it's evil. It killed that baby buffalo. Oh, that's horrible. It twisted it. No, it's lunch. You eat chicken, you get somebody else to kill it. But you eat chicken too. So if you know what I'm getting at. Yeah. So, where I'm going with this is going to be... I'm making a point that you have to be very careful as a parent that you're not a typecast person, you're not a fake Christian, but you don't know. If you think you're a Christian, you may not be. The chances are you're not. You're not in the truest sense. Now pay attention to me. Because your mother, somebody, my father, made you a Christian. You're born Jewish, therefore you're Jewish. If your stork put you down the Arab chimney, you'd be an Arab. Or you'd be an ISIS. You wouldn't be able to stop it at a certain point. You'd be a cannibal. All the other cannibals are loyal to the cannibal king, and they please the cannibal king by eating lots of people and giving him power and keeping him subject to the king, whatever it is, the tyrant and the cannibal king. So same thing, principle, but there's something mysterious about this, because the reason why you are a bad parent is because your parents were bad parents, and the reason why your parents had bad parents is because your bad parents had parents. And parents had parents, and great, 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 all the way back to the first two. They weren't Neanderthal or anything like that. You have to have two of what we are. That could be 10,000 years ago. But if you look at Rome, 4,000 years ago, I think, look at the intelligence. Look what they built with just measly tools. Look. Look at the beauty. Look at the 400 years of rise and the 400 years of horror as they became liberals. That's exactly right. That's what democracy is. Republic is different. So it became from a republic which is flourishing, and slowly but surely it became a democratic. Not even a democratic republic. And so all hell broke loose and everything died. And so I'm going to try to wake you up. and get you to understand when people are rude, when people lie to you, and when they intimidate you, you have to understand what Jesus meant. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. If you understand that, you are patient and you're not affected, and you can escape being a typecast person. We are going to take, I'm going to give the caller the call to duty, which is to talk to me about maybe your children. Because your children are running wild, and you don't know how to deal with them. And I will start to talk about these things after my calls. Calls come first. I just needed to open a salvo so that you can see what I want from you. I want you not to be a typecast person. Roy Masters is not a typecast person. There's only one of me. And when there's others like me who have different work, different jobs. I have, my job is to discover how to help people to not be all your anxiety and all your troubles and your misery and your drinking and your drugs and the trouble with the women, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All of that is typecast. It's only a matter of the behavior, but the source of that can produce all different kinds of behaviors, different kinds of murderers. ISIS, Schmeisis, Nazis, you name it, communists. Okay, so all typecasts and subject to man, subject to those who understand how to parent you in the negative way, to take to make the parenting, the bad parenting you had, to make sure that the country becomes more and more demoralized and not subject to a noble parent. So that the few generations, pretty soon they begin to multiply exponentially, which you see today, 80% divorce rate amongst blacks and roughly 70 with whites, which is terrible. What's happening to the children? Well, the father has lost his control. The mother's lost her control. She tries to do what the father should do, but she can't do it, and because she's a woman. See, and it takes a man to bring up children. It really does. But the propaganda tells you men are just have seeds, that's all. They plant their seeds and that's all they are. It's not true. You come from a family where there's disturbance. And mother rules, or the father rules with cruelty, or the mother rules with cruelty, because by the time, from the time they fell in love, which means they fell from what love was all about. See, the appeaser, one who looks like he's loving, attracting the woman because he's such a nice man, he's yielding himself to the woman, and the woman is getting angrier and angrier because he wants more and more sex. And she thought he was loving her, and that in the first phases of their relationship, it was nice, it was pleasant, and got married. And pretty soon she does not understand that the more she gave him love, which wasn't love, the more she brought out the worst in that man, which he didn't know was there. He's typecast. He typecast to be nice, to get what he wants, but sooner or later, she begins to feel that he wants more and more, and she doesn't want to give it. She feels like that she's feels dirty. She feels angry. She feels like something. She's drawing, this man is drawing something away from her, and building something up in him as a tyranny. But he may be a sweet tyrant, a sweet person. A sweet tyrant. See, like your president is a nice tyrant. He'll love you for your weaknesses. See, so you thought he was a good person, so you serviced him as you should as a wife. But you, what you've done is not without. He's a typecast person. He's not really as nice as he looks. It's a persona. It's an artificial person. And he tricks you for that. And he doesn't know he's tricked you. And you don't understand. You feel anger towards him because he's still such a nice person afterwards. But he wants more and more and more from you, which is not healthy, beyond normal. And then you start getting angry. And then you start getting guilty for being angry because he's still like a nice person. Even if he isn't a nice person, he's a bad person, he'll get it anyway by frightening you into submission. Either way works. Now, my program this evening is going to be about your kids and how you deal with them. I am going to take John from Iowa, and let me give you the phone number, 800-866-8883. Would you kindly call? 800-866-8883, Monday through Friday. We start at 6 o'clock and end at 9 o'clock in the evening, West Coast time. Thank you. John in Iowa, sorry to keep you waiting. Uh-oh, it's a half an hour, and I didn't know a half an hour was passing. Sorry about that, but just say hello to me and tell me what your problem is.
Yes, it's a pleasure to talk to you, Roy.
Thank you, John.
My wife has a sister who is severely anorexic. She's a highly perfectionistic individual. She has a family of six children, and she's been this way now for probably 4 or 5 years, but it has now manifested itself to the extreme. I'm just the brother-in-law, the outlaw, if you want to call me that, and her own family, her husband and her brothers and sisters, don't want to confront her over this problem.
I know what the problem is. She's ruining the kids.
She is, and I see that, and there's the two oldest kids are in their early teens, and they are beginning to express some things that are concerning to me and others over the behavior of their mother.
I got that. Let me just, you give me a lot of information in 1 minute. I just want to hold on. I just want to say something, and we have a little break and some commercial. Do you mind if we just do that?
No, that's fine.
And you can wait for me. But the person that can do the most for those kids has to wait for the time to that you're not angry with her. She can't help herself. Opening a salvo is the fact that everybody's typecast a bully or a coward, and the behaviors in between are just behaviors, but they're always bullying seductively and people go along to get along for peace, but there is no peace. They become a slave of those who rise to the occasion, who love them for that. And so you are now awake, and your awakeness needs to project forward, and you have to be wise. You are the one that has to talk to this woman, but make sure the family is there when it starts to happen, when you see it happening. Don't go away now. I'm getting on the right track, John? Okay. I just want to say something. I have a little pamphlet here. I'm looking at the number of pamphlets that are being sold, because I actually start the program with pamphlets. You don't know that. Pamphlets I did in 1962, 63, 64, 70. And I'm going to read this one, just a little bit. in the, because I'm going to build a program around it. I'm not going to read it. I don't like to read my stuff, but it's. I've said it since I was just a knee high to a grasshopper, and this is the great deception of education. He says, "Your trouble." This is me writing, and you can get this copy. It's about. You go to my website, FHU.com, and you get pamphlets. Let me read you the opening of this one. The Great Deception of Education. You go look for it. It's up there. And you give a donation, or it's very inexpensive. If your child is in trouble, he says, separating your child from the system. Now, this was done in 62. If your child is in trouble, it is essential that you separate them from their friends so they might recover their senses. Sin has a sick, hypnotic hold on their mind. Even the soul itself. It is impossible to fight the hypnotic influence after the mind has been programmed. And I want to add here, by you, mom, dad, see, and not dealing with them perfectly. They're in, with, and setting up them up to fail. And to take the sensitivity, the suggestibility a child has, and implant it as it was implanted in you. Now I stop there. Okay. So it's impossible to fight the hypnotic influence of the mind of the child. Other people can carry on with that. It's a hypnotic state, but you're born into it, and it gets into you. And you're not yourself, but you are like somebody. You're like your friends, and you know, you have your friends, and the friends will also play the role of parent and support you in your anger towards your own parents, your rebellion, or take advantage of your unsophisticated aspect of yourself, which is going along to get along and not speaking up and admiring the bully. See, that kind of thing. So it's impossible to fight after the mind has been programmed for almost within a year or so of the day you've been born. Innocence goes away, and what grows up is unwholesome, unholy, causing conflict, and an attempt to overcome the conflict, to go along, to get to run away from the house, to find that somebody who loves you, somebody who's, but you're not capable of that. Everything you do will keep, the world around you is wicked and cruel. And they don't know they're wicked and cruel. We are looking for something from each other. See? So it's impossible to fight the hypnotic influence after the mind has been programmed. Indeed, by striving angrily with your child, you're more likely to give strength to the evil around them. I can't say anymore. You will go to my website, FHU.com, and get separating your child from the system with the great deception of education. I'll read some more later on after I finish taking the course.
Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Oh, hello, John. I'm back with you again.
Yes.
You heard my little diatribe a few minutes ago.
Yes.
I want to share something with you. I hear in you a moral strength and not moral turpitude. I see strength in you. I see a desire to do the right thing. And you know, I'm on the radio. I'm not looking for approval. I'm not going to be an entertainer. I'm not going to make you feel better. I'm going to kick your ass as many times as I can, if you'll pardon the expression. I'm a preacher, but I don't use the preachery terms.
I like.
So you see that people love good people like yourself. Love the kick in the butt. In other words, it's not really that. That's a bit crude. It's simply, I'm real. And I see the problem with my kids. I see the problem with my country. And I said, okay, who's sitting there? The King of England, it could be Obama listening to me. And I'll tell him where, you know, where he gets off. I like to call him a few names, like a treacherous bastard, so, communist. See? And so I want to find out, you know, how he's reacting and if he wants to put me in jail. Well, I want to see how far our constitution is. Is it still there? The freedom of speech? You see, I'm not going to be afraid of what consequences. I'm on the radio saying it.
Right.
And if he says, did you call me that? Yes, I said, why did you call me that? Well, you mean you're not that? That's how I talk. You see that?
I do.
And now, I want you to do this. And I'm just going to advise you. You can do what you like with it. But you're the one that sees what to do. And you're the one that can handle the screaming and yelling and a reaction to that, which you need a reaction. That's reaction to you, not your reaction to them.
Right.
They will scream and scream, and you just stay calm. And have to say, you finished. And they see that she's a cannibal. And what she's trying to do, unconsciously, she doesn't know she's doing it. And
yes,
only way you can show her that she's doing it, and it may not work, but it will shut her down. And it would be good for all the kids to see someone stand up to them, and they'd love you, transfer the relationship from your mother to you, and call you anytime and not talk mother and run away. Because they'll like where you're coming from. That's what the kids want. And so you can make a big, you can be the head of that family. You should be. Not the bitch. See that? Because they're all hypnotized, every one of them. Or they're born into sin. Hypnosis is the name of the modern name of temptation. Or the result of temptation with is a slave. All who are tempted or hypnotized are sent as are slaves. And so everybody who's born into a difficult family and the family unconsciously having been broken themselves as a child pass it on to their children without realizing they're doing it. And the children realize they're doing it, but they can only hate you for it or submit themselves to you, which changes their character to bully and the pisa. Either one or both together. See that?
It's interesting that you talk about the screaming and yelling. There was a niece that confronted her recently about her condition.
Yes.
And tried to in a kind and loving manner, and it's almost like the pits of hell come spewing from
I bet she got broken from it.
Yes. Yes. It severed the relationship between the two because the yelling from the anorexic aunt was vicious that it has shut her down.
Now, this is what you need to do. Wait for the family, to as many as possible, especially her children, and then speak to her. Say, what's her first name?
Maureen.
Okay, Maureen. You see what you just did? You wait for her to do it. Excuse me. You have no husband? She has no husband, I hope.
She has a husband, and
he's a weakling. He's a weakling.
He apparently... My wife's family thinks it's his problem to deal with, and he needs to confront it.
But
my
he won't.
Opinion is...
But he won't.
He won't. He's been shut down, and he hasn't, and he won't.
He's a victim. He's a victim, my friend. And you're not a victim. Now, here it is. You're in the family. I have a family. And I will speak to anybody I want. If I see my sons and my daughter are not doing it right, I'm there. Right in front of the kids. And the kids are looking at me. And they said, last somebody realizes what my mom or dad did, see, and they feel relieved, and they I teach them not to. I'm showing them by the fact that I can't be scared, I can't be shut up. So all the screaming in the world will only cause them to be influenced by me. All I have to do is not be upset by it, and say, excuse me. I want you to see what you just did.
What you did?
That's what you get, right? And so, have you finished? You might not continue. You did. See what you just did? That's what you're doing to the kids. Now, I'm more mature. I can deal with it. So we can yell your head off if you want to. But you shouldn't be doing that to the kids. I don't blame you, because you must have had a bad parent. Wow. See, if somebody must have done that to you, because you weren't born that way. And I won't be reborn your way. See? And she'll run off. She'll run away or have a fit and drop dead. It doesn't matter whether that she drops dead or the only other choice is to get better. Because she can't, when she tries to do it to you, she tries to get inside you to eat you a little bit like everybody else. She's a cannibal. And people like that don't know they're cannibals, and there's nothing wrong with being a cannibal. And all I need is to kill innocents and destroy that innocence and have a meal for the day. You understand what I just said?
I think so. It's interesting, some of the things you've said, because I watch as the people closest to her don't want to confront the problem.
Well, you better invite me then.
And I'd like to. Boy, would I. my wife's from a family of 10 kids, and I'm an only child, so it was quite a culture shock to me to go into this family. But I watch as no one wants to confront her, and when I was dating my wife, she lived with Maureen, and I kind of have a special relationship with Maureen just because she was around when I was dating my wife, you know.
It's too sentimental for me. I'm sorry.
Well, she also has a Down. Her youngest child is Down syndrome.
I had
a Down syndrome aunt, and so I have a kind of a tie and an understanding of that.
John, listen. I beg to, you know, to interrupt you, but the story I don't need. I know what's really going on. All the kids are having different kinds of sicknesses and problems, but they're all programmed in different ways. Some conform, some they won't speak up, some won't run away and go to jail and just do the opposite. But they're never going to be themselves, ever. And you are the only person that can make something new happen. You're calling me for the information, so I'm going to give it, and I'm hoping you're going to be responsible for this.
Yes, and I want to say this one thing, and it has crossed my mind. I feel like I have, in some respects, the least to lose because I'm one of the outlaws. I'm not one of the sisters. If she gets mad at me and hates me forever, then so be it, you know.
But what would happen if you worked for her and you'd have a lot to lose? Would you still do it? My answer is yes. I would still do it, and maybe a different way. Maybe I would do it a different way, but this way needs to be in front of all the people she's broken. See?
That's interesting you say that, because I was going to take the approach of just sitting down with her one-on-one.
No.
But I see your point. I see your point.
I'm shivering already.
Yeah, I see your point totally. I do, now that you've said it.
Now, understand, with me, whatever it is I say or do, I just do it. And it, whatever you say, well, you scream, you yell, you pull out a knife, it's okay. Okay, we got to call waiting. You do this, you choose your time, you wait until the appropriate moment. It will come to you. Don't figure out what time it is, what moment it is, and what you're going to say. Do not rehearse in anything. Truth will spout out of you. Promise you'd do that for me, would you? Save your children, save your grandchildren, because that one thing, that one moment well met, can actually save the lives of those kids around you. All right, we're going to go some more. Say just goodbye to John, would you? Because it's because it's about other people, and it will take too long, but I think I made the point. All right. So now we got from New Orleans, Harry. Mom has dementia. Same as my wife. Okay. and the government has taken her away. I didn't know they could do that. Hello, Harry.
Hello?
Hello, this is Roy Masters. How are you?
Hello, Roy. I'm going to try to stay as calm as I can.
Okay.
And I'm just asking for your help. I've been listening to you for a long time. This is the story, and I'll get to it as fast as I can to the point.
Yes.
The government has taken away my mother, the Adult Protection Agency. They cannot stand me because I have stood up to them, just like you have always stood up to everyone you need to stand up to. Yes. And they can't stand it. They hate me so much that they would like to kill my mother, and they're in the process of doing that. They put her in a nut house is where they put her. She doesn't belong there. All of a sudden, I have no rights. I can't see her. My brother can't see her. My sister can't see her. They want to restrain the whole entire family, and the Adult Protection Agency is afraid that I'm going to be a whistleblower on them because they are so corrupt. They have followed me in the streets. They have harassed me on the phone. They have threatened me so many different times. I just got two text messages from somebody saying that my mother is dying in a hospital. Can somebody donate to the fund? I have no idea who it is. I don't think that's very funny. And
let me ask you. Let me stop you there. If you don't mind, I hear a lot of it. Let me do something you just said. So, have you have an attorney?
I have pending attorneys because they're deciding on whether or not they want to take it or not. And plus, I have a possibility of a chance, Roy, of going on a very famous New Orleans radio show. I do not know if I can go today or tomorrow. But time is of the essence because my mother is in a torture house.
Let me ask you, for instance, you know, I know somebody who has dementia. Except, you know, we take care of him. How is it she slipped away like that?
I'll tell you exactly. I have a government program because we're that poor. You can only be that poor to have this program.
Oh, no wonder you're no longer independent.
Correct. So I've had sitters that have no education. I have sitters that that don't even know dementia from a Bible.
Of course.
And that they... My mother was saying certain things about me in her vascular dementia state. She has Lewy body dementia. And they took it as if that's the truth. And I've had over 50 sitters. And the Adult Protection Agency wants to kill my mother.
They're making a living out of that. They're all making a living out of that.
They are.
They're making a living of your mother dying.
And I want to be the whistleblower. I want to be the person to try to save my mother's life and the future of the state of America.
But let me ask you a question: are you on welfare?
I'm sorry.
Are you on welfare?
I don't know what you mean by welfare. How do you interpret welfare?
I don't know. Means you get income from the government.
My mother does.
Oh dear.
So, and she's 86 years old. She has vascular dementia, Lewy body dementia. I have been caregiving for her for 10 years. I've been taking care of her like a queen. I've been saving her life from hospitals, murdering her.
How did they discover she had dementia? How did they discover the problem? The doctor.
This is the caregiver, I mean, the government sitter called the, she's been diagnosed years ago. Just maybe 3 or 4 years ago, by her other doctor, her previous doctor.
Yeah, but we're taking up a lot of time without solution. I think I know. You see, you have a lot of story to tell, but you've told me enough story. See, I have a wife that has the same thing, but I'm beginning to help her to show her to see how she got that way, and she's getting better. So I have the knowledge and the skill to do that. You can't force anybody, but only if they're willing to help. And my wife is willing to, apparently, she's willing to listen to what I have to say after 64 years of that situation coming on. It all came on because secret anger she had she never expressed. in little judgments and here and there. Never knew it, never seen it. And so, but now, you know, I'm 64 years with her, and I don't need any government. She has that same propensity in a manner of speaking, but I'll take care of her, and no one's going to take her away. All right, thank you. It's not a personal problem yet. It's a situation. And the situation is far too tricky for me to go much further. I have respect for the gentleman, but I sense he has a lot of anger too. And so, my wife sitting here next to me, she's listening. So I would take Dan in Massachusetts. Hello, Dan. Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Dan.
Hi.
This is Roy.
Hi, brother. How's it going?
I'm doing good. And you have depression.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm calling because I've been struggling with depression for about 8 years now, and I'm just losing the fight, and my mom doesn't know what to do anymore. I'm 22 now and still living with my parents. I don't go to school and I don't have a job, and my mom doesn't know what to do. So she's having me call and see if anyone can help me.
You have no purpose, do you?
No, I don't have
your life
purpose.
Doesn't have any purpose. And the only purpose is, the only way you can have purpose is in being in independent, having your own job. And your mother has, I think your mother has spoiled you, enabled you into the state, and you resent her for
it. Yes.
See, and so the trouble is you're lacking your manhood. So I don't know where your father is. But if your father, if you had a father and he could intervene, with a relationship between you and your mother, you would be a different guy. Can I act the part of a father to you by giving you some good advice? Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. I suggest that you may not like this, so I suggest to you that you talk to your mother and say, Mother, I'm hurting you. Father should have dealt with you a long time ago. I don't know if your father is an angry man or just an appeaser. And so your mother never really got the love, the real love of a man. So my mother, my father died when I was 12. And then I became the husband to my mother. And she naturally gave it to me because she was so weak and insecure, and I was not offended by that. I wasn't puffed up about it, but she talked to me as a husband. And I tell you, if you take a 3-year-old kid or 4-year-old kid and talk to, and the mother talks to the 4-year-old male child, the male child is important. The male child is far advanced. If he's not inured to the suggestions of mother, the influence of mother, you have to overcome. The man himself must overcome the woman's temptation, the woman's kind of love that makes you feel falsely secure. See, this is what you've got, and so what you need to do is say, Mother, I hate you. You hate your mother, but you also...
I don't.
Yeah, but you do. I can tell you that you, this condition of depression is a conflict because your mother has... You're codependent on her. And you're loyal to her, but that loyalty requires your whole life. And so that's no future. So that she feels secure. But you're becoming more insecure because you're a slave and you cannot do anything but embolden the weakness of your mother for you. It's a very sticky wicket. And what you need to do is say, Mother, with all due respect, I have a lot of anger towards you. And the anger turns into guilt. And the guilt turns into wanting to make up to you. And you tend to love me for that. And you don't realize, and I didn't realize, that when you love me for it, you are rewarding my weakness for you. See, so she then gets upset because she sees that you're not going anywhere and you've got depression. But she's part of the problem. But you're the part of the cure. You're a man. And you need to say to your mother, Mother, I'm not going to take any money from you. I'm going to go out in the streets. And if I have to eat from the dirty groceries they throw on the outside when they're finished with it, or eat in the soup kitchens, I am going to make my own way. I'll come and see you sometimes. As long as she has some money, as long as she has a house, she's secure. Okay, but you have to be strong enough to say, Mother, I love you, but I've been loving you in the wrong way. I've needed you and you've needed me, and we're just one body. And I don't know what to do, where to go. And she looks at me and sees me, am I getting depressed? I don't know where to go. Life is meaningless. You can't go anywhere until you get free from that. And you have to hurt her feelings, not with anger. You must break that. And if you can break it as a man, calm, wise, good timing. See, I said, not blaming her for it. Look, Mom, I know you didn't know what you were doing. I didn't have a dad. You didn't have a husband. Not really. And so you did the best you could. I understand that. And so I have to go out my own. And you walk out, and you have a little bit of money with you, you're free. Okay? And your freedom begins. You'll get your mind back. You'll meet people. You may have to sleep in some places like, you know, where they help people who don't have money. And it's a little embarrassing. But you have to learn to endure the trials and tribulations of those embarrassments. But you'll be free. And then pretty soon, you know, in your spare time, when you've got a place to go, even if it's, you know, the way I described it, it's still you can learn something. You can knock on doors. You can make something and sell it. I don't know what you can do. You have some talent. Use it. So that's all I can tell you, my friend. But I do suggest that you get a copy of my 7-minute meditation. Do you have that? You have it. But would you ask him, David, if he has it? Yes, take a break. Okay, so I think Dan is got good information. He's got to stop resenting his mother. Because he's typecast now. He is typically codependent. And you are typically codependent. And codependence makes you exactly the same as the one codependent on the other. It just depends upon who wins. Mother can win and become stronger. And you, pardon, Dave? Oh, it's the end of the hour, isn't it? I'm sorry, I spent a whole hour. Didn't I? Okay, FHU.com. And get the 7-minute meditation, would you, for free? And I'll show you how to deal with all these problems of yours with just one principle.